Today's guest on the Maz Hakim podcast on Virgin Radio Dubai is Dave Asprey. He's the founder of Bulletproof Coffee and also a best-selling author. Just to name a few, he's a bit of a health guru. Welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast, Dave Asprey.
I'm happy to be on your show.
Such a pleasure to have you. I have followed your journey for many, many years. And I want to ask a really basic question. What are some of the worst types of foods and some of the worst types of diets?
The worst diet you could possibly do would be processed plant-based foods.
Okay.
In other words, all the stuff they're trying to sell us as being healthy, those are the worst.
Right.
The second worst would be processed animal-based foods, these ultra-processed foods. Yes. But seriously, fake meat is the worst diet you could possibly do.
Right. So real meat is the way to go.
It is indeed. The second worst thing you could do is artificial oils, these omega-6 oils, sunflower, safflower, corn oil, soybean oil. Those cause diabetes. They slow down your metabolism. They drop your hormone levels. So right now, most people, 60% of our diet is ultra-processed foods, which is made out of weird plants that we provably do not thrive on. And they're mixed with bad oils and artificial flavors. And then we wonder why we're tired and fat. Our testosterone levels as men and women are lower than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Our fertility rates are lower. We're fat, we're tired, and we're angry all the time. And then we try to blame someone else. No, it's the diet.
It's the diet. So what are then some of the best types of foods and the best type of diet? Because you hear so many conflicting messages.
Everyone has their own opinion on this. Some people have had more success than others. I used to weigh 50% more than I weigh now. I was obese. I was obese for most of my life. I've tried almost every diet. I was a vegan. I was a raw vegan way before I was cool, back in 2004. And it makes you sick. I had to develop the Bulletproof diet to recover from being vegan. There are countless people say, I went plant-based. And then 2 years later, their health is ruined. They have arthritis. They have autoimmune conditions. They have thyroid conditions. And it takes them years to recover from it. And you see the 23-year-old Instagram celebrities, they can do it longer because they're burning up their life energy that they needed for later in life. So maybe they'll go 3 or 5 years before someone catches them eating a bite of steak when they think no one's looking. And it's happened hundreds of times. So we can just throw out plant-based nonsense. It is not more sustainable for the environment. It is not better for our health. And it's not even better for animals. So this is something, it doesn't matter what your opinion is, it matters what works. I'm at 7% body fat, I'm never hungry, and I have a history of obesity, and I work out 5 minutes a week. Granted, I have some technology helping me.
Yeah.
But you can do this. So why would we work out for 15 hours a week like we're supposed to, but no one does, beat ourselves up and eat food that's low in calories, low in protein, and low in minerals, and then wonder why we feel like crap? We can do better.
And so you mentioned the oils that we shouldn't be having. What are some of the oils that we should be having?
Grass-fed butter. Even if it's not grass-fed, dairy fat is good for you. Right. It is not bad for you.
Okay.
And from there, olive oil, coconut, palm oil. Those are the good ones. Eating avocados is good for you. After that, it's pretty rough. Maybe a little bit of macadamia oil.
Okay.
But all of these common food oils, the cheapest ones, they're just bad for you. We've maximized our production because someone lied in the 70s to tell you that they were good for you. They just aren't. And the more saturated fat you eat, the faster your metabolism.
Interesting.
Especially if you're in a hot environment with lots of sunshine. I don't know, like Dubai?
So what is the ideal diet in Dubai, for example? Because you hear so many, like in Ayurveda, for example, they say you should have like less warm foods if you're in a warm climate or something like that.
There are individual body types in Ayurveda.
Okay.
So if you're someone who has too much heat, you might need cooling foods. It's one tradition. You can follow it. Mm-hmm. And there's great value in Ayurveda. Bulletproof Coffee uses grass-fed butter or ghee, which is from Ayurveda, in coffee, in order to improve your metabolism and make your brain work better.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird. What might we do in Dubai? Well, you have to listen to your own body. But number one is eating late at night is not great for you. And that's something that we do in Dubai a lot.
Yeah.
So getting a little earlier in your eating will reduce your chances of diabetes and make it so the food doesn't turn into fat as much.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting is a really good part of your diet, which means for at least 12 hours a day, and sometimes more, you don't have any food in your stomach. And it's not that hard, because if you sleep for 8 hours, just don't eat a couple hours before bed and have a late breakfast. You can do this. And maybe you just wait till lunch some days. Wow, you intermittent fasted. Who would have thought? That alone, even if you don't change your diet, could be enough. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is you want to focus on getting protein and fat and veggies without eating any grains and without eating much sugar. But you can have some fruit. Just have it for dessert at dinner. So all of a sudden, people are saying, oh, I ate some more green veggies and I made sure I had some animal protein like an egg or cheese or lamb or beef with my meals. Magically, I grew a six-pack and my brain turned back on and my hormones started working and my skin started glowing. All of that happens. But if instead you tell yourself, well, I heard somewhere that if I just go plant-based and I eat this weird tofu, fake sushi, whatever nonsense, you're going to eat that. It's going to shred your gut. It's going to shred your hormones. And you're going to feel tired and feel anxiety from it.
Yeah.
And then wonder why that happened. It's because you're eating fake food. That's just not real. That's not what humans have ever eaten.
Yeah.
And if your family is from this region, you could look at what your great-great-great-grandparents ate.
Okay.
So for Americans, I would probably say maybe hummus is a bad choice because it's rough on your gut. But if your lineage has been eating hummus for a very long time and it's made with olive oil, most commercial hummus here is made with bad oils.
Yeah.
It's made in a traditional way. It might work great for you.
Interesting.
Right? And what are the other traditional foods? Go there. So dates, probably a good idea. But you don't want to live on sugar, but have some dates.
Right. So in terms of intermittent fasting, should we have breakfast or should we skip breakfast?
Well, there's two things. One is seeking perfection for health. If you wanted to do that, you should have the peak of your calories at 2 p.m. So that would mean you'd start eating like at 10, maybe 11, and then you have a big meal at 2 and you're done eating by 4.
Okay.
No one's going to do that. We have a life. We have a job. We have families. So that's perfection. You can either skip dinner, which is probably better than skipping breakfast. How's that going to make your dating life? Your social life? It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So skip breakfast because it's easier. But if you wanted, if you're dying of cancer or you have 100 pounds to lose like I did, maybe you might want to have a very early dinner and a very late breakfast because that's ideal. It's just not reasonable. So you don't have to. Just skip breakfast because it's easy.
Right. And you mentioned earlier hormones. Women nowadays, I'm not sure about men, but I know women have a lot of hormonal imbalance, which is causing a lot of fertility issues. What is causing that?
Oh, wow. Well, let me address the thing about men.
Okay.
Today, the average 20-year-old has half the testosterone of a man 30 years ago, who already was massively reduced from a man 30 years before that.
Yeah.
So we are seeing an absolute crashing of the fertility of our species. Our men are not as strong as they were before, and our women are not as fertile or even as feminine as they were before.
Yeah.
Because our bodies are responding to stress in the environment, they're responding to hormone disruptors in our food, in our packaging, in our air fresheners, in our perfumes. And we have to do something about this. But we know that sex hormones, women's hormones and men's hormones, and women have testosterone too, they need it as much as men do, just different levels.
Yeah.
They're all based on saturated fat, which comes from butter, eggs, and meat. It does not come from plants. So a well-meaning but incredibly wrong physician in 1970 made up the idea that saturated fat made you fat. And magically, all the seed oil companies said, yeah, yeah, listen to him, listen to him. And they tried to remove testosterone forming cholesterol from our food. People don't know this, but cornflakes and graham crackers were designed by their makers to reduce male and female fertility. They were, because the person who made cornflakes, Dr. Kellogg, he believed that male desire was the root of all evil on the planet. So if only he could make a food that would make men not care about anything, then he would do good for the world. And today we think it's healthy.
Wow.
This is real. This is all provable.
Yeah.
So what's going on here is eat the foods that make you vibrant and healthy and make your hormones work. It's butter. It was always butter. It was always eggs. They're the most precious foods in Ayurveda.
Yeah.
And eat meat when you can get it. Which
in
most of history, it was an amazing luxury if you could get meat unless you were royalty. And then you always got meat.
Yeah.
Right. So why did they do that? Is it because they were dumb? No. It's because that's what makes us thrive. They're not stupid.
Interesting. That's really fascinating. So in terms of sleep, how many hours do you sleep?
I have measured my sleep for the last 15 years. My average is 6 hours and 32 minutes per night.
Okay. And what's the ideal? Is that enough for everybody?
The studies with the most data say that people who live the longest sleep 6.5 hours a night.
Oh.
I don't restrict my sleep to that. That's just what my body needs.
Right.
If you sleep 8 hours a night and that's what you need to feel good, you are provably more likely to die than someone who sleeps less than you and wakes up feeling good.
Wow.
You know what? Healthy people need less sleep. Who would have thought? So I teach people on my website how to get more sleep in less time. I went from 5 minutes of deep sleep every night to 1.5 hours of deep sleep every night using all those techniques. Mm. And it's all right to say the URL here for people. There's no charge or anything. Sleepwithdave.com.
Okay. Very clever.
It's the best URL of my entire career. But it's memorable.
Yes,
and you go there and I will teach people everything they need to know. And there's a whole bunch of stuff you can do, but you don't have to do everything. Same with all biohacking.
Right.
I invented biohacking. I teach people all the stuff, but pick three things and do those. One of the things that works best in Dubai, you need to make sure you have really good blackout curtains.
Yeah.
Because there's so much light from the city, the amount of light that leaks around curtains was enough in a study in Japan to increase depression by 69%.
Jeez.
These people were going to sleep. They just were getting depressed because their sleep wasn't as good. So sleep in a blacked out room. Every LED and blinky thing, put tape on it.
Uh-huh.
And if you can see your hand, you're doing it wrong. And if you can get that level of darkness, you'll wake up and go, that was the best night's sleep ever.
Wow.
It doesn't cost very much to buy tape to put over lights.
Yeah. I have this blinking light in my room and it's so annoying. I look at it all night when I wake up and I'm like, oh, this is so
annoying. It's disrupting your sleep every night.
Yeah.
It's disrupting your hormones.
Yes.
So just get on a stool and get up there.
And put a Band-Aid on it.
The smoke alarms that have the flashing green lights are destroying fertility. They're not the only thing, but they contribute.
Okay.
Our bodies are very light sensitive.
Uh-huh.
And throughout all of the last 2 billion years of evolution, there has never been a bright green light flashing at night.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Our automated systems that are supposed to be watching out for us when we're asleep, they're like, what is that? What is that? What is that? That's not okay. So we can change our environment so that we have more control of our biology. That's the definition of biohacking. So I change my sleep environment and I get a lot better sleep. And that's what I teach people to do. You change your food environment.
Mm-hmm.
So your body says, oh, I have enough minerals. I have enough nourishment. Now I can relax. Now you don't feel anxious anymore.
Yeah, right.
So many people, especially women now, they're worried about getting fat. They believe the myth that if you just eat less and exercise more, you'll get thin. It doesn't work. I tried that when I weighed 300 pounds for 18 months. I worked out 1.5 hours every day, 6 days a week, went on a low-fat, low-calorie diet.
Didn't work.
I still weighed 300 pounds at the end of that time. I was overtrained, I was tired, and I had a thyroid condition that I got from overtraining and not eating enough. More stress equals more calories. So if you're working out, don't restrict calories. Eat more and you'll lose weight. It's crazy.
So what about sugar? Is the little bit of chocolate really that bad?
I ate some at lunch.
Did? Okay.
A little bit of chocolate's not bad. It is true that an excess of sugar is really harmful for you. But the idea that if you ever eat 1 gram of sugar again, you'll die, it's actually not real. Our bodies metabolize sugar very well.
Mm-hmm.
If your metabolism is broken and you eat a lot of sugar, it will cause all sorts of health problems.
Right.
But when you have a metabolism that works great, you can have a piece of fruit. If you have some dark chocolate and it has a little sugar in it, it doesn't matter. But if you have diabetes and you eat that, it does matter.
You shouldn't be having that.
So the thing that's causing diabetes is a combination of massive amounts of seed oils, these omega-6 oils that everyone eats, that's the culprit in combination with foods that spike your blood glucose a lot. So what I tell people is if you want sugar, have it for dessert, eat some protein, eat some fat, eat some veggies, and then if you want to have a dessert, have a dessert. It won't spike your blood sugar the same.
What about gluten and dairy?
Gluten is not good for anyone. Some people tolerate it better than others, but it is just bad for everyone. However, if there's a famine or you're trying to feed a population that's building the pyramids or something, even if you don't care about their health, it works. Populations that eat grains, in particular gluten, over time they have flatter skeletons, worse teeth, and their height goes down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's famine food, but you don't want to eat it.
Yeah.
So I would say for most people, avoiding gluten is a very good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Religiously avoiding even the tiniest scrap of gluten is not necessary.
Yeah.
Unless it's triggering autoimmune conditions for you. I don't eat gluten in the U.S. because they spray all of their crops with glyphosate, which is a proven deadly poison for humans. It's just deadly over time.
Right.
They spray it on the crops to make them ripen more quickly, and I get very sick when I eat gluten in the U.S. I had actually some baklava here from non-American wheat, and I was fine. That's the gluten I've had in the last 2 years. That's all I've had.
Okay.
So basically, you can probably have a little bit if you're not celiac, but if you think, oh, I don't have any problems with it. No, you have problems with it because it pokes holes in your gut and it causes inflammation over time. It will make you old to eat gluten regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But if occasionally there's some gluten in the sauce on your chicken, nobody cares unless you're sensitive.
Okay.
Dairy protein is awesome for you if it is actually from cows that ate grass, if the cows weren't given antibiotics, and it's not homogenized and pasteurized and heavily processed.
Yeah.
The milk we get today is a highly processed, ultra-processed food.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get more natural raw dairy, like say a cheese, maybe a goat cheese or a sheep's cheese, most people tolerate those.
Okay.
Cow's milk, if you're not sensitive to it, it could actually be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's highly processed, it's probably not. For me, I don't touch cow's milk other than butter, where it's all enzymatically processed, because it knocks me out and makes me really tired. I have an actual allergy to it.
Okay.
But people who rely on milk protein, a huge number of them also have sensitivities and allergies they don't know about. I recommend no gluten, no dairy, no corn, and none of these bad oils when people go on the Bulletproof diet.
Yeah.
Just do it for a couple weeks and see, wow, my skin looks better. I feel so much better. And then go have some pizza and see how you feel the next day. Oh, maybe some of the cheese, the oil, or the flour, or maybe all three was the issue. But you have to eliminate all the bad stuff at once to know what you're capable of feeling.
Right.
So if you spend a week or two eating some meat, some avocado, and some cucumbers, and, you know, a relatively simple diet, wow, you might find that you're capable of another level of existence you don't even know is there.
Wow. And what's something to do with health or food or wellness that you think everyone should know that people don't really know or not aware of enough?
Probably the most important thing to understand is that saturated fat is a vital and necessary nutrient for humans, especially for our metabolisms. So we have this amazing built-in belief that saturated fat equals cholesterol equals death. The reality is that saturated fat is not cholesterol. They are different. Cholesterol in food is not bad for you. Even the American Heart Association says we were wrong. You can eat cholesterol. It doesn't change anything. But we still believe that.
Yeah.
And then people say, butter equals death. But it turns out butter equals metabolism working again. Butter equals healthy brain. Butter equals testosterone. Butter equals estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Butter equals ability to have babies. It's that big of a deal. If we would just get that straight and kick out the seed oils, you'd find that there's a very different face of humans that we're capable of.
Is butter your favorite food?
No. Grass-fed ribeye steak is my favorite
food. Okay.
It's got fat built in.
Okay. And in terms of supplements, what supplements are you taking?
I am on an aggressive program to live to at least 180 years old.
Love it.
And I have unlimited access to supplements.
Okay.
I have started Bulletproof, which is a supplement company. I have a new supplement company. So I am not the paragon of what a normal person would do. I'm a professional biohacker.
Right.
I take about between 100 and 150 pills a day.
Wow. What are some of the pills?
Well, the most important pills that everyone listening needs to take is vitamin DAKE, D-A-K-E. And DAKE is a name that I trademarked, but it's just those four ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin D and vitamin A and vitamin K2 and vitamin E all work together to drive minerals into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the second most important thing you take is a mineral supplement, a broad spectrum mineral supplement that has macro minerals and trace minerals.
Mm-hmm.
If you just had those two things, everything else you do every day works better.
Right.
And these are subjects in my new upcoming book, which comes out in March. And the idea here is that the foods we've been eating, these processed foods, puffed rice, cornflakes, even just plain old bread, but all the really healthy plant-based proteins, they contain things that suck minerals out of your bones. You cannot have fertility and you cannot have bone density if you don't have the minerals. You can't even make electricity in your cells the way you're supposed to.
Wow.
So one of my companies that's not available yet in Dubai, but it's called Danger Coffee. And we've got a new process that we created for putting minerals into coffee. So when you drink your coffee, you get a big dose of minerals and you feel different when you drink it because your body was starving for minerals because your foods, the things you think are healthy, they're stealing minerals from your body. And we walk around just in a kind of in a stupor, doing our best to look good, but we're exhausted and anxious on the inside. That anxiety comes from your body knowing it doesn't have what it needs to do its job. So it makes sure that you feel it too.
So those are the supplements that everyone should take, you think?
Everyone on earth should take those, and we would lower the cost of healthcare dramatically. We would have smarter kids with higher IQs. We'd have more fertile men and women, and basically fewer broken bones. It's really worth it.
Wow. And what medications, for example, should we not take? What are your thoughts on, say, metformin or ibuprofen, that kind of stuff?
You know, people love to say, I would never take a pharmaceutical drug. Well, there's nothing wrong with pharmaceutical drugs, nothing at all.
Okay.
Every supplement, every food, every drug, and every breath you take has a risk and a reward. And if you believe some kind of religion that says pharmaceuticals or vitamins are going to kill you, it's a religion. It is not based on the reality that we have now.
Okay.
Right? And it's okay. You can choose to say, look, I have faith and I believe this, but it may not work for you.
Okay.
So, metformin, a lot of anti-aging people take metformin. Yeah. I started taking it in 2003 when the first study came out that showed it made people live longer. I took it for three years. I felt more tired on it. And new studies came out that shows it inhibits mitochondrial function. Okay. So now I think people should take metformin as an anti-aging strategy, not on days they exercise.
Okay.
If they have high blood pressure, or sorry, if they have high blood sugar, and they're in the process of aging.
Okay.
Right. So maybe, but certainly I wouldn't say don't take it, and I wouldn't say always take it.
Okay.
And then things like statins. Statins are the most overprescribed, dangerous drug out there.
Yeah.
But there's a small percentage of people with familial hypercholesterolemia. It's a genetic condition where their cholesterol's high. They probably should take statins. But for everyone else, they're a poison of your mitochondria that was sold in a very convincing marketing campaign. And it makes billions of dollars a year for drugs that actually are not good for you.
Excuse my ignorance. What's a statin?
A statin is a cholesterol-lowering medication.
Right. Okay.
Someone believed that cholesterol caused heart attacks. It doesn't. Okay, it just doesn't.
Okay.
But we still have built hundreds of billions of dollars of research and whole academic institutions based on fighting bad cholesterol. It wasn't the problem. So we made drugs that lower your cholesterol levels by poisoning the liver.
Jeez, yeah.
Okay, they do some other things, and poisoning maybe is a strong word, but they inhibit some functions of the liver that are healthy and normal.
Okay.
And they ignore the fact that people with high cholesterol that is not oxidized live longer than people with low cholesterol. And that lowering cholesterol lowers sex hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so afraid of cholesterol that we fight that, but statins don't lower your heart disease risk compared to any of the other things like meditation, exercise, or not eating seed oils, or all the other stuff that I teach.
Right.
So it's the most commonly prescribed drug out there, and it's dumb. The other one that drives me crazy is blood pressure medications. High blood pressure will destroy your kidneys and probably increase your risk of strokes, and it'll kill you.
Yeah.
You could take drugs to lower it so much that it gives you dementia because there's no blood pressure in your head. A lot of people who think they have Alzheimer's or in care homes, they just have low blood pressure from too much blood pressure medication.
Wow.
You can fix high blood pressure with a device that lets you train your body to just lower its blood pressure naturally.
Yeah.
You can fix it by taking potassium and magnesium.
Okay.
You might have to change your diet a little bit, but it's doable.
Yeah.
Restrictions of salt increase heart attack risk.
Okay.
So what? People think salt's bad for you. In a hot climate especially, salt is necessary. We used to trade it because it was the most important mineral out there.
Yeah.
So restricting salt increases levels of an enzyme called renin.
Yeah.
When renin goes up, your heart attack risk goes up dramatically. So the hotter it is, the more hydrated you need to be, or the more stressed you are, the more salt you eat. I carry a bag of salt with me when I travel because I can't get enough salt in my body to feel good.
Wow.
Historically, we had 25 to 100 grams a day, and the government recommends 2.4 grams per day in the United States. I don't know what the UAE recommendations are, but they're usually the same.
Yeah.
That is in a hot, sweaty climate, a prescription for disaster. Have as much salt as your body wants, as long as it's not causing bloating.
You'll like Himalayan better. Salt or just not
Sea salt, Himalayan salt, or any salt from a mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month this month. Without going into too much detail, because I don't know if anyone can answer this question, but what is the cause of breast cancer and what should women be doing to avoid it?
There are three causes of cancer. We used to think it was all genetic, and maybe 2 to 5% of cancer actually is genetic. Okay. So oops, there's that. Then the vast majority of cancer is caused by mitochondrial dysfunction. And I've written about this in all four of my New York Times bestsellers. Like, this is a through line, because when your mitochondria do a bad job of turning air and food into electricity, they can get so warped that they switch over from doing a good job of that, that they become cancer causing.
Okay.
So if we can fix your metabolism, we lower your cancer risk. And then the other small percentage of cancers are of fungal origin, from toxic mold.
Okay.
And that's not widely recognized, although there are lots of cancer specialists who will tell you that. That's cutting edge stuff.
Okay.
So what we do is we fix the metabolism in women. And we also must reduce exposure to dioxin, which is a toxic chemical, a PCB, that's widely used, that sticks around forever, and other environmental pollutants, including plasticizers like BPA, those little receipts you get, the little flexible, slippery ones.
Oh, yeah?
Those have 1,000 times more BPA than cookware. And if you touch those, it absorbs through your hands. And you know what drives it into your hands really well? Hand sanitizer. So if you use hand sanitizer, which doesn't protect you from COVID, it never did, COVID's airborne, and then you touch a receipt, you're getting a dose of stuff that is shown to increase reproductive cancers and breast cancers in women.
Wow. The normal receipts that you get?
The ones I don't touch.
Wow. So what, should we walk around with gloves?
Just take a picture of them. You don't need all those receipts.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. Oh my gosh.
I'm not saying that those receipts cause cancer. I'm saying that your too net exposure to plasticizers and endocrine disruptors is a contributor to breast cancer.
Right.
And then you add on omega-6 oils.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in personal care products, a lot of fragrances are disrupting our hormones.
Okay.
So if it's not an essential oil, don't use it as a fragrance. All the perfumes, even some personal care products like makeup and deodorant are contributing to it.
And there's a lot of that here.
There is.
Dave Asprey, it's been such an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for making the world a better place and being on the podcast as well today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.